Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with a community of poets from all around the world who celebrate the written word, the expression of the spirit, and the joy of spoken word art. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 24th, 2018 edition. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm one of your hosts tonight. Sitting across from me is my co-host and the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well. You had your first week back at school.
First week back. Yep.
How did it feel? How was the vibe for you?
The vibe's different because they're all evening courses, so yeah. it seems more full.
That's right.
Working adults kind of aspect, but it's definitely going to be interesting in one of my classes. Woo! Great state of Colorado.
What's up?
Sleepy-eyed kids.
Oh, I see.
From pot.
So I was laughing at when you were telling me earlier this week that you were being forced to take an interpersonal communication class.
Yes.
And I love this that you're learning digital security.
Yep.
So that's your focus. Now, knowing you, I don't feel like you need an interpersonal communication class.
I appreciate that.
However, many people who might go into that field might not be so socially adept as you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of a joke I heard from the technology teacher where I teach. And her husband told her this joke. He works in tech.
Uh-huh.
He says, "How do you know if a coder is introverted or extroverted or not? The extroverted coder looks at someone else's shoes." I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of those in my interpersonal communication class.
Well, I'm happy you had a good week.
Yeah.
It's been strange. This semester, the week went really well for me. Just kind of was nose deep and getting everything ready, and we have a new principal, so there's a lot of...
That's right.
We're kind of having to pick up little bits of things that the older principal might have done and just get everything up to speed. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. Looking forward to getting back into it. What was I going to say? You know, I don't remember what it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
We do have a few things I'm going to mention tonight before we get into the rules and everything.
Yeah.
Number one, just a reminder, if you want to support the show, if you enjoy the show and you want to just kind of help it keep on the air and everything, we are taking submissions. You can do it through an act of poetry, which we love to be able to offer. We are doing our 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It'll be coming out in time for Christmas. We are taking submissions now. If you want to submit a poem to be included, as many as you'd like, you can send them to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put anthology submission, or just indicate that it's for the anthology. Or you can go to worldpoetryopenmic.net and just put it in the contact form there and of course, indicate that as well. Second thing, it's a big piece of news for tonight. We're excited. We haven't actually announced this because it was kind of a special thing. So before we go to return engagement, so after the second segment, roughly, we're going to be bringing on two pretty big heavy hitters. our very own Cynthia Sharp, and Charles Clifford Brooks, poet extraordinaire, to do kind of a discussion and a panel about the poet and the author's role in marketing your work. So this is not what the publisher does. This is what your role is, whether you are published by an actual publishing company or you are doing it on your own. And the thing that's really interesting about that is for so many people who are put through publishers, most of the marketing still falls on you. So this is something we all need to consider as creative people. So we'll be doing a kind of a short, succinct panel on that before we go to our return engagement tonight. And hopefully it's something that you'll find really useful. And perhaps we'll cut it out and make it an own standalone downloadable thing at some point. It doesn't have to be right now. Yeah. So at any rate, those are the big things happening tonight. So the way this is going to work is, of course, we'll have our first segment. Five callers will call in. And they'll get to share their work. Then we'll do the next segment, and another five will get to call in. We'll do submissions kind of around then as well. Let's go to our rules here, and let me pull them up here because you highlighted them right there. Oh, that is so awesome. Okay, this is why I say that you're the one who keeps everything going. Okay, rule number one: no hate speech. We've done that from day one. We just it's not even what we decide is hate speech. We're not okay if it comes from one side to another. We just try to kind of avoid it. All together. This is for humanity here. Number two, try to skew PG-13. We have family, we have kids who sometimes will listen. We're trying to kind of, and we do want to really encourage that love of poetry in the community. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So if you have something really good going on, we won't really jump in. However, it gets egregious, it's a little too much, we might come in and suggest that you read it during our After Dark segment, which we do generally every month on the first show of the month. First Friday of the month. Yeah. All right. The third rule is when we come on the phone, please have your poem ready. Be prepared. Be ready to read. That just keeps the show tighter and we're able to have more people read. Also, please make sure your poem's about 3 to 5 minutes. Want to make sure that we're able to be respectful of everyone else's time and allow poets to be able to really just get in as much as possible. And then the last rule is if you have any comments or suggestions about the show, we love to hear them. On the air is just not a good place. No one's taking notes or anything. So send it to us through an email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or just do it in the contact form of the website. We'll be happy to address it there. And then we have been known to change the show based on things like that, too, because it does make sense.
Yep.
All right. So let's start this off. First segment, the number is going to be 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic, segment one. Let's go.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
By the beard of Zeus, it's cracking tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There are so many people calling in. We filled up the segment rather quickly.
Yes, we did.
I should say. I think it's going to be a good one, actually.
Yeah.
So, JT, let me ask you, what was the most entertaining thing that happened to you this week?
Oh.
You can tell this is live. We didn't rehearse
this.
Wow.
Entertaining thing. I don't know. I don't think I really...
4 hours later.
Yeah. I don't think I got anything.
it's really hard. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Cool. Yeah. I actually don't have an answer to that myself.
Oh,
there's
okay.
There's been a lot of really interesting things. Over the last couple weeks, speaking of the person whose name we haven't mentioned yet, the mega poet we met randomly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That we're going to be trying to really help promote her work and kind of do some more stuff like she needs help. My gosh.
Well.
Anyway, we're hoping to kind of rope her into our community at some point here.
Absolutely.
And I think she has a lot to share. I'm so excited for the panel tonight, by the way, too.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be great. I really want to hear what they have to say, what Cynthia and Charles Cliff Brooks has to say. I think something we all can learn from. But in the meantime, should we just go to our segment? Should we go to a submission first?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Submission. You know what submission doesn't mean? You are sub to the mission.
Yeah.
It means that we, as a mission, have been submitted to
the work. They've submitted the poetry to for our approval, and we have approved. Uh-huh. So now we submit humbly this work to our listeners, who then submit their... Okay, I'm just going to... Well, this
I was like, how long are you going to...
This is why I think I could be a college professor.
You could. Like,
of course, when we say the word submit, the word S covers up the word ub. And then ub, of course, comes from the Egyptian... Okay. Either that, wow, or I could be a crazy conspiracy theorist radio... I could take Alex Jones' place, just not the crazy mean stuff.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
I won't act like a Batman villain.
Good.
All right. No, I have no desire to do that. Anyway, let's go to a submission. Forget what I said about the word. Submission by Namrata Santoki. She always sends such beautiful poetry. This one is called The Frozen Sunset. As the evening colors appear, casting the wide and vast shadows, the sun at horizon, steady in the serene atmosphere, were the people settling, ready to go into deep slumber. The birds returning to their nest and bees to their hives, each life becoming calm. The fireflies hovering on the river banks, creating a garden of glory, wearing the crown of eternal peace. The only moment of transition between the two colorful aspect, the day full of lively colors settling into the dim light. There's a momentary pause to thoughts, and I hope it stays for long. The sun appears frozen, taking the last glance of the earthly beauty, watching the scenic motion before it slips beyond the horizon, and rise next day with new hope. And that was The Frozen Sunset from Namrata Santoki. Namrata, that was a beautiful piece. Thank you so much. So well written. If you want to contribute and submit some work like Namrata, you can do it by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail. Just say submission for show or indicate what it's for. Or go to worldpoetryopenmic.net and do it in the contact form there and indicate there as well. Those are the only two ways to submit work for the show. Now, are you ready, JT? Should we do this?
I think so.
You know, there, the best part is there's actually a song that has a, you ready, JT, in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should cut that out and use
it. We're going to have to try and
find
it.
We're going to have to do it. Well, I know exactly where it is.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's go now to Dennis in Michigan.
How about now?
All right.
There we go.
Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. This must be Friday night.
It must be. Here we are. Here you are.
Here we are. Here we go again. The family reunion has started once again.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you have a good week, Dennis?
I sure did, and I am very thankful. I've been a very fortunate person to all the good things that happened during the week, and it's all good.
Oh, we're happy to hear that. We're happy to hear that. Okay, so how about this? Let's step back. I'll have you share, and then we'll talk a little bit after.
Well, I got a question first. I keep forgetting. What does POM mean?
POM? It means Poet of the Month. And he has to play the music.
Okay. Oh, man, no fanfare?
Yeah, no. Well, you can't hear the fanfare, but everybody else did, I promise you.
All right. Sorry about that. I just had to throw that in. All right. I'll get started. I have a poem by the poet of the month, which is Catherine Lee Bates. And the title of this poem is Jerusalem. At last, the crescent falls back before the cross. Great spirits, incandescent, with longing, with loss. Gleam from the clouds, crusaders, who knew no requiem, while Saladin's invaders possessed Jerusalem. King David harps for Zion, or a glad celestial psalm. The face of the young lion is toward the sacred palm. New Europe's noblest nation has won the diadem of him who brings salvation to thee, Jerusalem. Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, who cried against thy sin, whose vision saw thy famous bright bulwarks beaten in, and made a cup of trembling, God's house a broken gem. On all the winds assembling, comfort Jerusalem. The Christ, Messiah proven, whose Gentile armies free, thy walls not battle cloven, but one with jubilee. As when thy people pressing would touch his garments hem, enters with love and blessing thy gates, Jerusalem. Arise and shine, O city, the joy of all the earth. Show poverty God's pity. Teach misery God's mirth. Be thou to all the nations a light, even to them who wrought thy tribulations. Holy Jerusalem. End of poem, a poem by Catherine Lee Bates.
Well read, Dennis.
Yeah, very well read. It's a stirring, stirring piece, and I think you caught that energy really well.
Yes, she has such a wide variety of poetry. I was surprised to see the different directions she went in, and so much good stuff. And it's, once again, thank you for sharing her as the Poet of the Month, and it gave me reason to look up some of her other work and not just the familiar stuff. So thank you. It's a wonderful opportunity to share her work because she lives on through her words, and I hope I did her justice.
I think you did a wonderful job, and thank you so much, Dennis. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Collin from Michigan leading us off in the first segment here. You know, I wonder if she wrote, did Kathy Lee Bates write that when she was living in the woods or when she was on the Titanic?
Probably on the Titanic, because it was...
I don't know. There's something about that poem that also, her thinking about Jerusalem and, you know, Saladin and all that, that just reeks of fried green tomatoes. I'm not sure.
Maybe then.
But then again, her son was a water boy. So, all right, let's go now to another fabulous place called Michigan. Actually, it's the same Michigan. Let's go to George. Hello, George. How are you?
Why, I'm just splendid. Dennis really delivered on that one.
He did.
I was going to ask a question about the chat room.
Sure.
Somebody said that pizza had been delivered.
Oh, really?
And to the chat room, and it hasn't come to me yet. So could somebody check that out? Oh, that's right. We're supposed to send our complaints in by email.
Yeah.
So
we have customer service representatives waiting to answer your emails.
Ah, shucks. It's Friday night. I want pizza.
Who doesn't?
That's great. Yes. Well, Dennis talked about history, of course, biblical history and such. This is about history, too, and I'm hoping that it isn't a little bit on the obscure side. I moved many centuries after the biblical times to revolutionary France. And hoping that the references I make here aren't too obscure. The poem's name is Où est Charlotte Corday, or The Death of Marat. O times, O pain, O fear of tyranny, of laws and freedoms we thought inalienable. In France, they resented a monarch's selfishness. They grabbed him from his palace along with his Marie Antoinette and took their heads. How red the bloodlust of the mob. They called it reason, the romance of freedom. Oh, joy. They follow the rebel Robespierre with trust and his spokesman, Marat. And oh, without due process, the heads began to fall. Great hungry crowds feasting round the guillotines in utopian ecstasy, as if the street rivers of blood would bring them bread or cake. They cheered, they betrayed friends, they slaughtered priests. And Jean-Paul Marat, Robespierre hitman, floated along on the blood. He rose to power, the blade-dropping machines had his blessing, and the roads went red. Alas, aroused by the injustice, young farm girl Charlotte Corday gained entrance to his home. And as he bathed, and with her knife, she gashed the life for Marat. What goes around comes around, c'est la justice. But the hungry, rabid public called him a martyr, she an evil assassin. More guillotines, more knife blade justice to the ministers, the king's men, the officials. The schemers grew wilder in this frenzied allusion to freedom, however warped. And woe to the original goals lost in favor of a new tyranny, almost worse than a bad king. And poor Charlotte Corday, the traitor then, but hero to us now, lay headless beneath the guillotine. And a country in love with its future had slaughtered its past with blood, not words or votes, and replaced it with an even more tyranny and a dismembered justice system. And alas, replaced a king with Napoleon the emperor. Ah, the times of hope do flee. Much later, sweet France obtained a republic after gaining more reason. But the 120,000 headless people didn't have it done for them. And Charlotte Corday is the almost forgotten martyr in her unappreciated yearn for justice. I tip my Chardonnay glass to poor Charlotte. Repose en paix, chère fille. And I wonder if some new Cordays will redden the bathwaters of tyrants. End poem.
That was actually a really beautiful piece. And I have to tell you, George, controversial, not in the quality of the write or the read, but JT hates the French Revolution for some reason.
Oh, he just hates so that.
It's such a strange thing to hate. But also, I love the French Revolution. So so I really enjoyed all of the references.
Well, it was so bloody, you know, so bloody. I don't know if it started out to be that way, but it turned so bloody. And of course, they did not reach their goals soon, as opposed to ours, which was, you know, 15 years earlier and had succeeded.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of reasons that, but it was boy, talk about a romantic in the sense of action, adventure, and blood and love and all those passions. Time.
You know, you're right, and I think there was something. It was a word that you had used to describe kind of an experience JT and I had had after a show, waiting for someone to be arrested at this Applebee's thing, which is a long story. But you used the word sordid. It sounded really sordid sitting there, and you know, it really felt that way. And I remember seeing a description of King Louis right before he was executed. That just sounded like such a sordid deal. It was just such a dark moment.
It was. And, you know, and I'm not apologizing for monarchs at all.
Right. Neither am I.
It's just that it wasn't handled the way it was intended, I think, or at least there were the idealists in it.
Yeah.
And it really caused us, you know, historically it's monumental because it was the first event in Europe in that period, you know, that it did end up eventually usurping a monarch. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, enough lecturing.
Yeah. See, I get into this. JT's like, the French. It's great because he loved, so I could tell he loved the piece, but he's also like, this was just such a bunch of crap.
The bestowing the best seed. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, George. That was awesome. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. And that was George Kahn from Michigan, number two here in the first segment. Man, we've had some historical. We've had classic poetry, We've had something about the French Revolution. I can't wait to see what Cynthia from Vancouver has next for us. I'm going to give JT a second to get it lined up here, though, because he can only move at superhuman speed, and I'm going just insano speed. Okay. Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. What an awesome, strong start to the show.
No kidding, huh? We feel like it's going to keep going. By the way, just officially, so everybody listening, in case you didn't catch it, Cynthia's going to be doing a segment with us here in a little bit, talking about the role of the poet or an author in the marketing process. So I just want to say officially to you, Cynthia, we're excited. We're so happy you can join us for that.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
And, I'm going to take it in a lighter direction for my poem. This is from my new book, Rainforest and Russet, and the poem is called Nirvana. Delicate droplets, mist new leaves. Cherry blossoms flutter like butterflies. For all of the things in the world on edge, immerse yourself amid the blossoms. The exquisiteness of light, the shades of orange in the petals of a daisy, the scent of sea in summer, the beach on a Tuesday evening, ions in the waves, sand beneath our feet, all the paths we choose. Sunlight and slower days, the way it's possible to love again. A groundedness in home, like the stars there every night, waiting on the moon. End poem.
This is a lovely, lovely piece. Wow.
Yeah, thank you. Because with the fire, with everything that's been going on here, I think with the forest fires and things, they're starting to clear up, thankfully. I think it's also important to just appreciate, I like that the quote, like, think of all the good still left around you and be grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that is very much a worthy idea, not just with forest fires, but in general, I think, for people nowadays.
Yeah, like remember all the good, right? Like there's still so much beauty here to appreciate.
That's true.
Very much so.
In fact, I scream that at JT anytime he trips. I just start yelling at him, remember the good, right after it happens. JT's laughing. He's okay. Cynthia, thank you so much. And we're looking forward to the segment here in a little bit.
Me too. Thanks. Okay,
thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. She was number 3 in our set here. Now we're going to be getting ready to travel to a place of surprising, and it's not surprising, I think, to it's not surprising to people who are from Cleveland, Ohio, but for people who are not from Cleveland and haven't spent much time there, it is such a surprise to hear how good the food and the art scene is. And that we really need to go out there.
We do.
We've talked about this. Yeah. I think us being Broncos people, it's a little hard for us to admit that we need to go to Land of the Browns, but we can make an exception. Let's go talk to Mama Oladeji, another one of the great Cleveland exports. Mama Oladeji, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm still here.
Well, that's a great thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tomorrow they're having a big garlic festival.
Ooh,
a garlic festival. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep, in walking distance from my house, and I'm going up there to eat some food cooked with garlic and get some really homegrown garlic that he brings up there every step. And, yeah, we do have good food here and also wholesome food, too, and not just from Whole Foods. I mean, these people are very conscious. They're very conscious about what they you know, it's got mushroom farmers out there that cultivate their own mushrooms. You got garlic farmers. You got vegetable farmers. Because we have the best of both worlds. We got the city and the country both, like, nearby. So you can get fresh vegetables. Some of the restaurants grow vegetables in their backyard of the restaurant. And they go back there and get, like, fresh stuff and chop it up and cook it right there. So, hey.
Come on down. All right. I think we need to make that happen. And just so you know, because of the way you described it, when we go to Cleveland, I'm sitting there I'm going to start thinking about potential rivalry stories between farmers of different types of crops in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going to start trying to figure out how to turn that into a poem or something.
Rivalry?
A rivalry. Think about it. You know, you got a if you get a rivalry between a mushroom farming family and a garlic farming family, and then maybe you do a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. It's a terrible idea.
You know what?
Mama, I'm just screwing around.
You need to check the enemy within you. That's the name of my poem.
My God, that's the best thing to say to anybody. All right. Mama, you've checkmated me on this one.
The Enemy Within is the name of this, and if you would like to find it, it was posted as one of my top poems in 2010, I think. So that's what I'm going to read to you.
All right.
She is in there arguing with my affirmations. She is sabotaging my dreams. She kicks my best decisions in the derriere. She confuses my left brain, my God brain, and she encourages the repetitive behavior that never worked in the past. She overrules the changes made by my spirit mind, and she never allows the cognition of sane behavior to take the reins. She assures me that I am fine. She has redirected my thoughts so that concentration and gumption never see eye to eye. And then she exercises and builds up her strength as I do nothing. She loves me and comforts me whenever I am lethargic, and she tells me the best thing to do is nothing. Whenever I manage to call in the troops of my adrenaline, she conquers them with fear. She provides the lie that my one voice is never going to be enough and tells me I will never be heard and that I will never be the mercenary of change. So I relent and I give in to the enemy within. The only antidote I know is to tell my friends, and they who stand with me can chant and pray and purge her from my system. Will you point the way? Will you please help me? Help me to fight injustice. Help me to restore integrity. Help me to say no poverty. Help me to defy authority. Lend me a hand as a poet and a friend. Help me to the end. The rule of this enemy that dwells within. I will be stronger if you do. I am out of wit. Only you can replace it. If I run out of time, only you can carry on. If I run out of love, only you can give me some. I'm out of ammunition, and I cannot fight the world alone. I cannot ask God before asking my kindred beings. God will ask me why I pass by my fellow man to get to him. My prayer is to replenish what God has started. He will surely finish what he has started. But he needs me to ask you, my friends, to help me demolish this enemy that dwells within. And when I am stronger, you can lean on me again. And together we'll claim the victory over this ill-advised enemy that lives within me. In peace.
It's a great piece.
It's a great piece, and it's a rabble-rousing piece. I think you got everyone in the chat room ready to go to war for you, Mama.
Thank you. I need you.
Yeah, no kidding. We all need each other. That's beautiful.
Yes, we all need each other, especially poets. We got to stick together.
That's right.
Are we going to get trumped?
I feel you're right, and at the same time, I feel like we're gonna make this. I think the tide's gonna reverse here soon, and I think we're gonna be some of the people who do it. So let's stick together and go.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate you all of you all in the chat room. I love you all. Please listen to the interview Barbara and
Chris
did yesterday. It was one of the best interviews I ever had. So I would like everybody to listen to her program.
Wonderful.
Red River.
Mm-hmm. Red River Radio.
And, wait a minute. JT, will you do a poem for me?
Will I do a poem for you?
Yeah.
I guess I could.
Just, I never heard you. I would like to hear a poem.
He's got a book out and everything.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have something that the master can share in a little bit?
No.
Do you have something, an old piece that the master
can
share?
I can definitely do an old piece.
Why don't we just do some old stuff then?
So
there'll be a segment here in not too long. We'll do a short one for you, Mama, specifically the haiku master, and that will be JT. Okay?
I would love to hear that. Okay.
All right. So stay tuned. We'll do it. All right. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, just to correct so Barbara doesn't feel like she has to. It is Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. She did an interview with Mama Ola Deji. And if I remember correctly, and Barbara, you can correct me in the chat room if I'm wrong, you also had Cynthia and Dennis do some readings on the show. All right. Wonderful. So go check that out, though. If you want to hear it, Mama, I'm sure it's going to be a great interview. I've been on that show before.
Yes, you have.
Talked about penguins.
Yes, you did.
All right, let's now go to Mary in Arizona.
All right, and that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Just
hey, Mary.
Hello. I'm number five, primed and prime.
You're primed at number five. You are primed at number five.
The wall's been primed. I put colors on it, the splash, and now I'm here among you beautiful people.
We're happy to have you.
Isn't it nice to have this great venue? I'm just going to say that out loud, and then I'm going to get right to it because it's a tiny bit of long scribble, but I think you'll enjoy it because it's a little bit different for me. I'm going to do the dedication, and then I'll put on my background music and read my scribble. I'm dedicating this to my favorite poet and writer, PMR Philip Matthew Roberts, who always encourages me to the outer and most courageous limits of my thinking brain. And I thank him and his writing forever. All right. I'll play for you by Seals and Cross today. I'm going to put that in the background, and then I'm going to read my poem. The title is I Can't Write When I'm... I can't write when I'm frenzied. Rooms with sounds in my brain. My thoughts are all scattered. I cannot form them. They're mattered and tattered and battered or up in the clouds where I cannot get to them. I scribble a thought, and it sounds like a slew again. I can't write when I'm saddened by something inside me, some widget or picket or numbing to hide me. The emotions leak from my eyes, not my fingers. I can't see clearly to put thoughts through my ringers, the ears that hear are plugged with holes. I cry and moan and I say, think of those. I can't write when I'm too high or too much imbibed. I can't write what I write then, though I see my insides nonetheless. So I write sometimes anyway, even when settling is just something I long for, like a hedge or a bedding. I can't write when I'm criticized, chastised, or hated. I can't think of the future, the past, the abated, until the emotional rollers are over. And my thinking comes back to my brain once again there. I simply feel hurried and too full of worry and silent to begin much of anything and finish even that. I can't write when I'm tending to matters around me like dogs at my feet or the traffic and grounding me, driving for books or for gas or for groceries, helping my daughters and friends and emotions like Fond du Lac cheese or Swiss with holes. My words must shelf up there with the jewels. It's impossible to write when I'm in pain. I'm too busy then, and inside there's too much rain. I wallow and swallow, rock in my room, music and Chopin and Beethoven and Muldoon. Snowflakes twinkling on my tomb, till blinking and nod take me away again to all I needed sleep and rest again. And sometimes upon waking, I wake up fresh again, mint in my tea and yoga to mad again. And splendid calm silence that I've so longed for before, here it finally arrives at my door. I grab it when I'm able and renew grabs at my chance to unravel. I can't write when I'm struggling, thinking about life. Some things I've been thinking about most of my strife. I just have to process at that time, be blue until roads finally turn a more yellow hue and the sun shines again. I can't write when I play the piano. My fingers are too narrow and too... Though I do like to compose them, and I try to remember when I come to write things down again. I do love to write when I'm in love, with colors and rainbows and bridges above, to cross over them and into green pastures, and flowers with petals and fragrances to rapture. I do love to write when I feel clever, or athletic, or scholarly, better than ever, fighting all of the world's foes, woes, like Cowboy the Donald or bad rock and roll, and trolls, and trolls for making fences and gates for high walls and things to entrench us more. And sometimes of lovers who leave us in throes, just getting through and following those who can calm us and lead us to places of value where past pain and hurt is just in done volumes and many tales to tell here in so many places. They are pleasant and lightening from loads previous faces, just like the ground here and bees here and trees here. Everything changes and we still arrange it ourselves. I try to write now. Whenever I'm able, I bring it my best shot. I bring to the round table a feast of my thoughts, the most formed I've seen from me, cadence on paper and honed to reveal, see, what I've come to learn along my way, what I've lived here long enough to say and share with those that are like me or hear me or see what I feel here to share you like with you would like do. I rely on my beloved ones sometimes. They guide me at my ready. I'm not here to bullshit. I've done that already. Too heady. I just want to unwind my inner spaghetti, to put my finger to a blue pen preferred, to engage to white paper, very unblurred, and then to say what I wish to sing and to dance, to scream what I have to or just tell at a prance of the life that I know it, of the time that I've spent here, of the kindness and loving I felt, what it's meant here. To me in this world and all that we hold here, from molecules and atoms to the tips of our souls here, to my daughters, my beacons of light from beyond here, to places and loves and doves from above here. We wish when we dream for a place like Anon here, as Eve, the Mary, the musical will attest to, kindred spirits are a wonderful vestibule. That's it.
That was a beautiful, beautiful piece. Mary, great job. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And on to the next. Hurry. Next segment. There's so much to do. So many things.
So much to do. All right, Mary. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. That was a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Yeah, it was.
All right. That was Mary calling from Arizona, rounding out our first segment here. You have a note here for me to talk about an anthology. I've already done it. So let's just do this. So I'm going to keep moving because we have that panel coming up here.
Yeah.
So we're going to get ready for our second segment. So if you want to read and you haven't read yet, we're taking five more callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. We need five more. Let's go. Christine?
Yes, Michael?
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
Mmm, that's nice.
Boom! And we're back! JT, I have to tell you, and no one else could see this here, that was pretty amazing, what you just pulled out as far as answering all the calls and everything. Did you like where that was going?
No,
totally not intentional, by the way. I was
totally worked,
I was like,
though.
I like,
okay.
I am digging myself into a hole right now. All right, so so we've got some great callers lined up. Here's something though. We're just gonna throw out, and because we have the segment with Charles Clifford Brooks and Cynthia here coming up after this. We always try to measure the amount of calls we have, whether we're deciding to go to a third segment or not. It turned out we just had one extra call. And since we don't have a submission for this one, what we're going to do is we're going to move fast. We're going to do six callers. That way we can get all six poets in, and then everyone will have a chance to do it also during the return engagement.
Yes.
So we'll get everyone in, segment, return engagement. Cool?
Cool.
All right, let's do this. We're going to head first to, I believe, a first-time caller?
First-time caller.
Wonderful. This is going to be James from Illinois. Hello, James. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're happy to. So, you know, we're on the air now, but can you tell us all where you heard of the show?
I had seen a friend of mine on Facebook share it, Stanley Phillips. He put it in one of the groups that I'm in, so I decided to pop in and call.
Wonderful. Well, we love Stan here, and we're so happy that you chose to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be quiet. We're going to just give you the floor. When you're done with your poem, just say end poem, and we'll come back on.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Floor is yours.
Okay. This poem is called Find Your Tribe. Sometimes the rattlesnake can sing a soothing tune because life is just too damn short. And we can't stay on this spaceship for long. Never settle for the pretty things. Grace and flowers will fade away. Go out with a bang, laughing, while shooting guns and blowing shit up. Let the dreams of the backwater, roads and good times carry you. Leave rotting bodies behind and let yours get all banged up too. Write your words in stone and let your wings carry you home. The times of our lives are all we really have. The short wind blows all the wild away. Bones are the hardest offering to burn. Find your tribe and love them hard. End poem.
James, solid piece, and what an appropriate one for the show that we have here. Great read. We had people in the chat room really responding positively to it as well. And we really want to say thanks for sharing it.
Well, thank you. That was actually the ending poem from a new book that just came out.
What's the name of the book?
Owls and Hot Rods. Owls and Hot Rods with Pink Elephants and Dead Bats.
Awesome title.
That's great. Where can people find it?
It's on Amazon. I have an author page there. If you look up James Dennis Casey IV, I have 4 published books, and this is my latest one.
Fantastic.
Through Cajun Mutt Press.
That's great. So everybody look up James Dennis Casey IV on Amazon. He has an author page there, and you can find links to all of his books there on Amazon. James.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man. And so we're going to be doing kind of a round panel about marketing a book after this segment of poets, and then we're going to have another thing called a return engagement where you can call back in and share something if you'd like, if you have something else. We'd like to invite you to that, but of course we understand if you don't have something else ready.
Okay. Well, if I'm around, I'll definitely call back.
Sounds good. That's all we can ask for. So James, thanks for calling. We hope you'll consider doing it again. You are definitely, definitely welcome.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. And that was James calling from Illinois, first-time caller, laying it down. I thought he did a great job.
He did.
Picking it up, smacking it back down.
Oh.
I think JT hates that reference.
No, it just cracks me up because I think of so many different things when you do that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
It's all good.
Waking him up and knocking it out. Sending it to bed with nothing but dessert. Okay. All right. Now we're going to head to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great, gentlemen. And how about Mr. James D?
Man.
It's good. Really, really good.
He did such a great job, and thank you for letting him know about our show.
Hey, I'm putting the word out there, and I have some listening, and I've actually had one actually come on and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I am glad it was James, because he does not lack anything in power or presentation.
Man, one, and what a good choice of a piece for the show as well. So
I know.
Yeah. Man, so, okay, so Stan, what do you have for us?
Well, what does PFOM stand for?
Say it again?
What does TFOM stand for?
TFOM. PFOM, Poetry Form of the Month.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, JT wasn't ready on that one. It was like Scotty in the engine room taking a nap or something. What's going
on? Sorry, I was a little sleepy on that one.
Yeah. I think they're trying to get it to, because they've noticed a conspicuous lack of fanfare this evening.
Yeah, yeah. I'll step it up. Don't worry.
All right, he'll step it up. So Stan, it was not in vain.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I took a look at this thing and read up on the parameters of it, and I did the minimum requirement of standard, which is two, you know, because that's the only way you can have the comparison. But Remus Dissolutus is quite a challenge.
Yes, it is.
It was. And I did manage to keep all the lines within to seven syllables. I know you could have as many syllables as you want, but every single line has to have the same amount of syllables.
Oh.
And I also made sure that none of the rhymes in the stanzas rhyme until you start comparing them to the next stanza.
Fantastic.
So I did all that, and I made it short because, like I said, I wanted to take a shot at this challenge before I got really too in-depth with it. And I was sitting there going through this, how am I going to do this? And of all things, it flashed into my head, a grandma word. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my brain is all higgledy-piggledy. And here came the flood. Higgledy-piggledy, cattywampus, flibbity-gibbet, bombastic, and persnickety are in this poem. Grandma was my muse in this one. And when I began to really check out the meanings and definitions of it, that's where I decided where I was going with it and the title. And this is Political Rhetoric. Minds higgledy-piggledy, ideals left cattywampus. Voiced by flibbertigibbet's bombastic tripe, quite absurd. Trapped by their persnickety, they expound them against us. Fear, hate, they aid and abet. Our chance of accords deterred. And peace.
My hat is off to you, my friend.
I'm telling you.
I knew it was ridiculous. It was a big ask. It was ridiculous, that poetry form, I thought.
That was right up my alley.
That's perfect. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that.
You know, so yes, I definitely took a shot at this one.
Wow, wonderful. Hey, I appreciate you doing it, and I think it's always a pleasure to hear what you come up with, especially when you're working with prompts or a new form or something. I know that's something you really seem to enjoy doing.
I do. And I also like merging them together, time or two.
That's great.
Yeah. Like I said, when it comes to poetry, I'm like a kid let loose in a toy store with no supervision, and I am running amok.
Perfect. Just as we like it. Just as we like it. All right. Stan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Absolutely, and on to the next.
All right, thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, number two here in our second segment, slightly longer segment. Now we're going to travel to a land where the Rothschilds threw some really, really weird dinner parties. Let's go to Connecticut. How's it going, Barbara?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm good. I think we're going in the political vein.
Oh, are we?
A little bit. It's hard not to these days, so I don't think that I've crossed any lines, so hopefully. I'm calling this poem Vampire Spider. He built his web, carefully wove the strings, and each time he saw new prey, caught them in his artfully deceitful abode as they became the environment of his life, sucking their essence for his ends and moving on when they were no longer needed for him. And in this intricate construction of deceit, he resided, a sated spider, sipping on each victim for his own twisted ends and leading them into the tangled criminal morass of his grimy life as they followed his nefarious orders. He expected so much loyalty. It drained the insides of these hangers-on as they lingered like persistent hangnails on his sticky fingers, digging into the softness of the political underbody and dragging at the poison that is festered invisibly. Like a tiny spider, no one believed the ominous presence of this spiteful and single-minded menace who has ensnared a large group of duped individuals and has bound them in the silken threads of his vile lies and half-truths. So they exist now as victims for this vampire. As he sucks out their faithfulness, he uses to enslave them for his vicious ends. And then, when they least expect it, he pounces and extracts their essence until they are dry and desiccated, thrown to the side, political rag dolls on the heap of history. End poem.
It's a powerful piece. Yeah.
It's kind of how I think, so.
I imagine, yeah.
I just thought of what was going on and thought of the person in charge as that kind of person or thing. And then it became evident that it was also a vampire, so it's a vampire spider.
It makes sense to me. Yeah, the parallel totally works. Barbara,
anyway,
great work. Thank you. And it was a good write and a great read.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say thank you to, again, publicly, to Vicky, Mama, and Cynthia for coming on my show. And Mama came on like with actually a half hour's notice. She was unbelievable. And then Dennis came on and was a guest. So it was just wonderful.
I bet it was. I was sorry that I couldn't hear it, but I'll go check it out as soon as I can.
Go check it out as soon as you can. Okay. Talk to you later. I'm going to get off so that everyone else can get on. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Some great, great work there. Hey, Tamara, you're next in line, but I think we dropped the call, so you need to give us a call right back, okay? We're going to give you about a minute or so to do so. I see that you're still in the chat room. So everyone in the chat room, please let her know to give us a call. Oh, here she is. Never mind. All right, here we go. Hello, Tamara?
Yes.
All right, you are on the air, ready to go. Thanks for calling back in.
Okay, thank you. I haven't figured out how to do it where I get to hear you and be on the phone.
It's
so.
It's a little bit of a conundrum wrapped in a burrito of a mystery. But there's a way.
But it's not Taco Tuesday.
No.
I got to say this, though, in my world, and I understand if people are jealous, every week is Shark Week and every day is Taco Tuesday in my world.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
It really is. I don't really know how to share how just blessed I am.
Well, I make cookies for a living, so.
Well, damn it, Tamara, you just.
Actually, my job is to hang out, make hot cocoa, coffee, and cookies, and chat with people. That's my job.
You know, that sounds like a great time.
Yeah,
actually.
So, but I don't know, Taco Tuesday, that's every day. That's pretty impressive.
That's true. That's true. All you got to do is make some tacos. Anyway, I'm going to give you the stage and shut up. You go.
All right. Slip into the shadows, hide from the growly beast. Shimmers fade and glitter grade, shrinking like unto the least. Quiet, your voice echoes. Quiet, you are loud. Quiet, your words are heard above craven cries of desperate crowd. O wisp of light, she flickers along a mossy trail with whispered song, chorus near, and all that tenor will entail. And I speak a little softer. I close my lips and then my eyes. I fold my hands upon my lap and fold further in disguise. hoping no one sees me, pray for invisibility, muted opaque cape of royal rage, tempered with civility. Seize the loudmouth criminal. We shan't bear to hear the shouts. It matters not who thought they ought. All that matters is at last we caught. Not, they silence you. Not, sit right back down. Not, the ruins lay in wait to coronate without a crown. Proper screams for assistance. Resistance screams the same. Rude persistence screams until, in the distance, screams the game. There's the dragon's gentle snore, chimed with a deadly cricket roar of truth told by lion, ass, and bull to snakes and bears and boars. Forever fierceness chases me while caution creeps across my hide, camouflaged in jungle fear, silenced from inside. End poem.
I really enjoyed that piece, and I think that read was really strong as well.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, great job.
Have a good night. I'm gonna go listen to everybody else.
Okay. All right. All right. Cool. Thanks so much for calling, though. We always love it when you do. And just slammed the phone
awesome.
Down.
That was awesome.
Man.
I'm gone. Boom.
Like,
I'm out.
We love it when you call. Okay, she's in her car. She's driving away. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Hey. It's okay.
I feel so used right now. It's okay.
Wow, that's
I guess I'm not a human being. I guess I just
really.
I'm totally playing around. All right.
Oh.
All right. So now we are going to, and this is someone who's called in before.
Yes.
She is a mermaid, I believe.
Okay.
Michelle. Let's go to let's talk to her now in Michigan. Hello, Michelle. Michelle. I can hear myself in the background.
Hi. Oh, there she is.
Hello, how's it going?
Hello. Can
Hello.
You hear me?
We can hear you now. Yeah, we can hear you just fine. There's a little bit of a delay on the broadcast, so if you're listening to that, it won't sound right.
And okay, yeah, I actually thought I was going to be number five, but okay.
You are.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, this is number five.
Because you said number four.
That was the one before, yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. If I said number four, I apologize.
Oh, maybe JT did. Okay. So at any rate, here we are, Michelle. How is it going?
Pretty good. I've been trying to find this book, and I guess I finally found it.
Well, awesome. Could I get you to do something first, though? Could you turn down what you've been listening to the show on just until we're done with the call?
Oh, yeah. Here, I'll put it on silent. Yeah, because I'm hearing myself talk after the fact that I already
Yeah, it'll mess your poem
said.
Up. Trust
it,
me.
It, yeah, it that totally will screw hard. You up.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you the stage, okay? And then we'll talk after.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to find the poem. 1 second. And there's two things on my screen that are being weird and aren't disappearing. I don't know why. Okay. It's called A Tale to Be Told, quite contrary to the fact. It's not real long or anything. I mean, I can only recite one poem, right? Okay. So it goes, in a hot moment, everything is clear. Passion, blood, dragon birth, whimsels, whams, dishes, glands. The honey nestles in the fire. The hearth gets bigger and bigger in the fire. Further with the wind, I try to intertwine my fingers in your hands. They're so soft and grainy. Your horse kerplops in the mud. My silky hair collapses. And your blood splattering on the ground. I tried to heal you with my fingers. Can I heal you? I hope I can. I hope I can be your only man.
Cool read and a good choice for the poem.
Oh, yeah? Because it was interesting?
Yeah, of course it was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I like it.
Yeah. We appreciate you sharing with us. I think the people in the chat room really enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome.
I hope I can figure out how to get out of this thing.
Okay, so let's do this. Yeah. Michelle, what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the next caller, but we want to invite you after the panel discussion we're going to have after this segment, I want to invite you to call back if you have something to share for the return engagement.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
And awesome. That'll give you plenty of time to pull everything back up.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. We'll talk to you then.
Oh, you're so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. And that was Michelle calling from Michigan. Doing some great work there. That was awesome. All right, now, there's a man, JT. A man of lists. Some people would call him the Franz. It's Eric in Texas. How's it going, Eric?
It's going good. How are you guys doing?
Doing right. Doing, well. Doing all right, man. It's been a good night so far, and looks like it's shaping up to keep going and being good. So I'm going to give you the stage, let you read. And then we'll come back on, okay?
All righty. All right. Just because I don't believe in your gods or goddesses doesn't mean that I worship or believe in your gods or goddesses' adversaries either. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship any of your three Abrahamic gods, Allah, Yahweh, Elohim, and or the latter two sons and or their prophets, doesn't mean that I worship and believe in their adversaries, Iblis, Lucifer, and or Satan. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship any of your good creator gods, goddesses of Hinduism, Krishna, and the many others as well, doesn't mean that I worship and believe in your creator gods and goddesses, adversaries of Hinduism. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your Buddhist good gods doesn't mean that I worship and believe in your Buddhist gods and goddesses adversaries. Just because I don't believe and or worship your Zoroastrian creator god Ahura Mazda doesn't mean that I worship and believe in his adversary Angra Mainyu. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your Jainism gods, goddesses, Jinnas, doesn't mean that I worship and believe in their adversaries, Ragas, Devesas, and Karmas. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your Sikhism creator god, Wahguru, wonderful Lord, Satnam, eternal reality, Akal, Parak, eternal one, Nayam, name of God, and innumerable other names, doesn't mean that I believe in your adversaries, five evils or five thieves, Kam or lust, Kurdeth or rage or uncontrolled anger, Lob or greed, Mole or attachment or emotional attachment, and Ahankar or ego. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your Gnosticism creator god, the Demiurge, doesn't mean that I worship and believe in his adversary, the Monad. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your Kami or spirits that live in the natural world of Shintoism doesn't mean that I worship and believe in their adversaries, which things that disturb the Kami, disturb the worship of Kami, disrupt the harmony of the world, disrupt the natural world, disrupt the social order, disrupt the group of which one is a member. Just because I don't believe in and don't worship your beliefs in religions, mythologies, spiritual philosophies, fairy tales, folk tales, and household tales doesn't mean that I am your adversary. Nor does it mean that I worship and believe in each one's adversaries either. Rest in peace.
A really clear and respectable piece, and a great read. Good job, Eric.
Well, thank you so much. I get, of course, this is based on truth, of course, but I get all the time, you know, that, and my belief is different than most people, and that's all fine and dandy, and my non-belief too, but, you know, especially like my dad calls me Lucifer's nag, but he uses a different word, and then I've been called several other things too, but I just was inspired to write it, and I actually came up with the title, and then I was like, wow, that's going to make an interesting quote, but then also it's going to be an interesting poem. So, and I had a thought real quick that Philip Matthews Roberts must be rubbing off on me because my title was long this time. So.
He tends to do that, man. Yeah. It happens to everybody. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a magical, a majestical.
It's majestic, the majestical well, Philip. So. Yes. All
yes,
right.
That's right.
Hey.
Well, thanks for squeezing me in, guys.
You got it, man.
I'm going to stick around for the rest of the show and try to get next return engagements.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you when we talk to you.
All righty.
All right. Thank you. And that was Eric calling from Texas. All right, everybody, that is the end of our second segment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little bit of time. We got to have our panelists call in, and we're going to get everything ready. We're going to have some music playing. Just hang tight. Make sure you have some things ready to take some notes, because I think there's going to be some good stuff here. And then we will be, after that panel, going back and doing a return engagement segment.
Yes.
Okay? Cool. So everybody hang tight and stick with us. When we come back, we'll be with Cynthia Sharp and Charles Clifford Brooks. We're going to be talking about the role of the author in marketing their work. Talk to you shortly. All right, everybody. We're going to be heading now into the return engagement. Anybody who wants to read, anybody who wants to read for the first time or wants to read a second time, give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back, or as Joe Rogan says, good googly moogly, ladies and gentlemen.
Good googly moogly.
Yes, he does, and that guy has 90 million podcast downloads a month, so obviously...
He's doing something.
Obviously, he's doing something right. Okay, so we have an awesome return engagement lined up here. We have 11 callers. Now... We promised something quickly. I want to do this. We promised Mama Ola Deji something, and that is to hear JT read poetry. There's one thing I think that she might not know, that you are actually the haiku master.
A boy is a haiku master.
All right, Mama, that introduction was for you. That dates back to 2012.
Yeah.
It's one of my proudest accomplishments.
Awesome.
All right. So JT occasionally will put together three haikus, and they'll generally be about a theme that's kind of pertinent. He didn't have a new one, so these are going to be kind of some few older pieces that are just as valid.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give you the stage, like All I right. do with everyone else.
All right. Here we go. First one. Open wounded hearts, lovers no more intertwined. Scars are a future.
Huh.
Number two. Tears are a release. The pain is temporary. The joy is freedom.
Interesting. Okay.
Number three. Talking in circles. The fires of passion dead. Arguments no more.
Interesting.
And then I have a B-side.
Oh, that's right. You haven't done one of those in a long time.
The B-side. How dare you leave me? They mean nothing to me now. It was just one kiss.
Okay, what the hell was that about? Or do you want to even say it?
Love. Lost. Bad relationships.
Well, I figured that. Okay. Not a particular one then. Because you were happily married at the time.
Oh, yeah. No,
you still
no.
are.
Yeah.
All right, no, here we no. go. That was awesome. Everybody, that's why they call him the Haiku Master.
He's a Haiku Master.
Yeah! Boom! All right. JT, the chat room loved your work.
Oh, thank you.
It's like they've never heard you read before, and you know why that is? Because we don't do this enough.
No, we don't.
We probably do it 2 or 3 times a year at this point.
Yeah.
We used to do it every week.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
I know. I know.
Interpersonal communication should kick this in.
Yeah, no, hopefully that college course in interpersonal communication will help you figure out how to do this.
Yes.
Did you mention you've been doing a show for nearly 6 years?
Only to one person, because that's one of the weird questions.
Oh,
we get.
Really? Yeah, is that what you, when someone says, tell them something strange about yourself?
No.
Or something,
was,
not it, strange, but unique.
But yeah. Really? Yeah, it was just conversational piece that
I have a few that I try to go for.
Hmm.
Which one in the chat room? Let me ask. Which one do you think is better? One. Well, actually, no. Never mind. I'm not going to share these things because
okay.
I might meet these people in person, and
that's
I might
right.
want to be able to do something. I hope I do meet you in person. Let's go first of all to our lead off in the return engagement. Let's go to Mama Oladeji.
One. Actually, no. Never mind. I'm not going to.
Hello, Mama.
Wow, I really enjoyed that.
He did well, didn't he?
Yes, and powerful too. He just like came out with it, slamming it.
That's right.
But that last one, it was like he made a baby.
Well, thank you.
I think, actually, strangely enough, that's going to be JT's next haiku book title, Making Babies with JT, the Haiku Master.
Yeah, he said he was only one kiss, and I'm like, what about the baby he made?
Good point.
Wow, that was wonderful. I enjoyed that. I'm actually still smiling. So, we got 11 people, so I need to change my piece. So you want to let somebody go before me because the piece I chose was kind of long.
How long is it?
I never timed it before.
Okay. Oh, but you can feel right. It's long. Okay.
Okay. No problem. We'll place you on hold. We'll take you right after Barbara.
Okay. So Barbara, get ready, and then we're going to we'll just take you after that, Mama. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Now there's probably a delay. So we're probably going to surprise Barbara. Let's try it. Ready? Okay. And?
Let's try it.
Hello, Barbara.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Sorry about jumping on it so fast. I know you thought you had a couple minutes.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to do a little different thing tonight. And you may not like it. I've never done it before, but somebody asked me to do it, so I'm doing it. It's called, because everybody was hearing all that weird Al Yankovic stuff last week.
I don't think anyone else was hearing that. Barbara, were you just having a weird week?
Here.
Or were you...
I don't know.
No, I'm totally
maybe.
Kidding.
No,
I'm just playing
okay.
with you.
You're okay.
I'm just playing with you.
I was listening to... Bon Jovi Shot Through the Heart, and I thought about it in terms of if Al Yankovic had done it. So
awesome. Okay.
I'm calling it You Give Pizza a Bad Name. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. I don't have any background music, so maybe I'll have to sing it. Loaded with stuff no one can name. Darling, you give pizza a bad name. Pepperoni and cheese is what you sell. You promised me that, but you give me a clamshell. My heart, my hunger has got a hold on me. When your stomach is aching, it's hard to break free. Oh, it's in front of me, yeah. Oh, my stomach says yes, and there's no way to run. The pizza stares up at me. Bits and pieces are swimming in cheese, loaded with stuff no one can name. You give pizza a bad name. I gave you my order and you gave me this. You give pizza a bad name. Hey, you give pizza a bad name. You put on the sauce and layered with cheese. A pizza lover's dream, but you messed it up. Putting unknown bits now, what's up? Oh, it's in front of me, yeah. My stomach says yes, and there's nowhere to run. The pizza stares up at me. Bits and pieces are swimming in cheese, loaded with stuff no one can name. You give pizza a bad name. I gave you my order and you gave me this. You give pizza a bad name. Oh, you give pizza a bad name. You give pizza a bad name. In pump.
Wow. Bravo. Bravo. Barbara,
JT and I were laughing so hard it was great. Hard to breathe.
So great, Barbara.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great.
I have nothing to say. I was
going to say, eat your heart out, Barbara Streisand. That's all I'm going to say.
I got confused a little on the tune but in the middle. But
oh, it was great. It was totally great. All right.
I hope I had the essence of Bon Jovi in there.
You had.
Sure did.
Totally. I could smell the hairspray. All right. Barbara, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut.
Oh,
wow.
Great.
That was...
I gotta write this down.
I kind of want to learn that and sing that to the kids at my school. Or actually just play her singing it. I think that'd be the better thing.
There.
She'd be better at it than
gave
I would.
Pizza a bad name.
There you go. Yes. Okay. All right. Now let's try going back to, speaking of pizza, Cleveland, Ohio. Let's go to Mama, see if she's ready. Hey, Mama. How's it going? You had the same reaction we did.
I've never seen Bob actually before. That was so funny.
I know. We've known her a while and had never heard her do anything like that.
That was hilarious. Okay. She maybe changed mine to something that's kind of funny too. So I'm going to do the Loathsome Bard.
All right.
It's a humorous limerick. He stands before us to deliver a poem, a prose, a verse, a rhyme, or a message. His manner quite manifesting, and his confidence puts the crowd at ease. Soon and very soon, too soon, we loathe him. There is too much cluster on his grandiloquent vine of strung together words without substance. Though the use of an apocryphe gives poetic license to insult, we loathe him instantly. The silver-tongued orator's brilliance soon becomes wearisome, while the mute articulate points of his eccentric ramblings leads us to dead ends. Unfulfilled and burdened, we now loathe him. The loathsome bard goes on to rant about degrading and dissolute issues of life, which we felt the bard had not concern about. His bombast delivery to some appears eloquent. He grandstands, language bellowed out quite grandiloquently. Word baggeries leading us nowhere as we listen to the fanfaronade of his charades. We loathe him. Though quite colorful and pompous, he leaves us in shambles, brain all scrambled, and we loathe him. The once brilliant verse, though well rehearsed, is wearisome. The bard went not in heart, though the discombobulated pray aloud. Next poet, please. We're all relieved as he finally did leave, because he looked better going than coming. And with our intellect, he was toying. The bard was not hard, but he most certainly was annoying. In peace.
I like that. That was good.
That was a really, really beautiful piece. I like that one a lot.
Thank you.
It was fun.
I like the feeling in this return engagement right now. This is just a good feeling. Yeah.
Oh,
it's all a good feeling. Mama, you bring so much to the show, and we always love it when you're here with us and what you share. So thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. I'm enjoying myself.
Good.
Get a good laugh out of that. Barb started it.
Yeah, she did, but you're keeping it going, and we appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right. Here we go. I'm just waiting for the first person with the darker poem, which is totally fine, by the way. There's not a single problem with taking the energy down.
That's right.
But this is just we got a kind of a funny, it might just be a slap happy,
it too, could be.
Because that does happen.
Yeah.
But let's go to James in Illinois. Hey, James.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And thanks for being patient and waiting. We've got some great kind of silly stuff going on, I guess, this segment so far, but whatever you have to bring is totally fine with us, so I'm going to step back and let you take control.
Okay, and would it be all right if I read two quick ones instead of one, or does it have to be one?
So we generally go with just one, but how quick are the quick ones? Is it like three lines or something?
No, but I can get them done in a minute or two. It's not going to take me, you know, it's not long at all.
JT, what do you think is the keeper of the rule book? In the spirit of the night?
Yeah, we'll let him.
Since
him
it's,
do
his
two,
first, it's his first yeah, night.
We'll let him do his two.
Okay.
And they're quick.
So James, we normally just do one, but it's your first night. We're just kind of in it. We're happy to have you here. Let's do two.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Am I ready to go now? Is it good to go? Okay. All right. This first one is called Beef Jerky Pepper Packs. And it's just kind of it sets the feel of my new book, really. It's supposed to be like you're riding around in a hot rod. The ringing in your ears after the force and fall, slipping gears in between. A big skull head shifter knob on the end of a rat pink cock. Beef jerky pepper packs flying all around. Things last forever. This is a wild world. Empty in the ashtray, looking at all the trash. We're all in this together. Starting something new, leaving fast as we can. Blasting in our rocket, high above the world, out into the stars, driving off the end of the Milky Way. And that's the end of the first poem. This second one is kind of a heavy poem. That's in the book. It's actually a really personal one to me, but it's a little shorter than the first one, too. So it's called Already Gone. Let's see if I can make it through this one without choking up. B. John Wayne wore a wife beater, ignoring all the people. He kept time in a needle, filling up his senses behind fake mind prison bars. He thought he was John Wayne anyway. Rusty pistols and things that never came true inked into his skin, drowning with laughter as he died in my arms after overdosing on my living room couch. I loved that guy, but he was already gone. My heart was crushed when his father told me at the wake that they were expecting it. End of poem.
Those were really, really nice pieces, James.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed those very much. Great work, and thanks for sharing with us.
I appreciate it.
Wow. All right, well, hopefully, we'll be back on next week. Hopefully you can join us. We understand if you can't, but the invitation's always open. And we hope to hear more from you.
Yeah, I will definitely be calling.
Sounds great. Thank you, James. You. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. And that was James calling from Illinois. It's his first night, so we figured we'd kind of open the time up. But he stayed totally within the time limits. It worked just fine.
Yeah.
Although we're not
no. Yeah,
not getting in the habit of two poems a thing, because right. that does actually, we looked at the metrics, we know.
That gets into a weird
It totally screws us up. So that was a one-shot deal. We're going to head now to, from our newest caller, to the caller who's been with us the longest, let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hey, Dennis, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
We're so happy you are.
Yes. Oh, what an interesting segment. I hope to add to that a little bit.
Perfect. We know if anybody can, we know you can.
Well, I give it my best shot. I have a parody poem. It's a parody on Hey Jude by the Beatles. But my title is Hey Dude. It goes like this. Hey Dude. Don't make it sad. Take a bad song and make it badder. Remember to let Al into your heart. Then you can start to make it badder. Hey, dude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out, write some haiku. The minute you let it under your skin, then you begin to make it badder. And any time you feel the strain, hey, dude, get sane. Don't worry. Don't carry the burden on your shoulder. For well, you know he is cool who breaks the rules. Try making your haiku a little bolder. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude, go hit the ground. You have found Al. Now go and get him. Remember to let him into your heart. Then you can start to make it badder. So let Al out and let Al in. Hey, dude, begin. He's waiting for someone to perform with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey, dude, you'll do the haiku you need. Is on Al's shoulder. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude, don't make it sad. Take a bad song and make it badder. Remember to let Al under your skin. Then you begin to make it weirder. Weirder, 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 Al. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Yeah, yeah, you. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude, don't make it sad. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude, make it badder. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, dude, oh, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude, doody, 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 doo. Whoa. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, dude. Blah, 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 blah. Go get schooled. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Be a bit crude. Blah, 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 blah. Be a bit lewd. Blah, 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 blah. But don't get nude. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, JT, dude. End of poem.
Dennis.
Oh, thank you, Dennis.
By the way, first, one of my first reactions was to actually yell out in the studio, "What is happening?" The second thing is I just love the fact that you created an opportunity for someone to tune into the show and hear someone just going blah 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 blah, and it goes on for like a minute. It was great.
That was so perfect. I loved it. Oh.
All right.
Fantastic,
that's what
Dennis.
I was going for.
Thank you, Dennis. It was great.
I'm just waiting to see who the person is that's gonna do the entire score to Fiddler on the Roof like that. That's it.
Ooh, there you go. Ooh, that'd be a challenge, but that'd be fun.
By the way, Dennis, I'm going to throw this out. I'll just say it publicly, but we can talk privately. Since you actually figured out who the poet of the month was last month, what I'm going to do is think of a song you want me to play and sing. Send me a message, and I'll learn it. So that'll be kind of the gift we do. If someone gets the poet of the month early, I'll give them a song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a great opportunity.
Don't get too overwhelmed there, Dennis.
Talk to Michael. All right. Thank you. And
thank
I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up, blah, 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 or not. And I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. My gosh. All right.
Oh, that was great. Oh, man.
Well, that was Dennis in Michigan. You know, there's that, you know, that U2 would say this Charles Manson stole the song from the Beatles. We're stealing it back. I think Dennis just stole that song from Paul McCartney. I got to
awesome.
Be honest with you. I think your Weird Al has really worn off on everybody.
I think it has.
Yeah,
it's
I think
awesome.
It totally has. Let's go now to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
After that, it couldn't be doing any better. That was outstanding. Dennis, you are the man, period. That was it.
Hilarious.
Man. Almost makes you want to have a sing-along, doesn't it?
I almost did.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm probably going to do that later tonight. I have to be honest with you.
Maybe it reminds me of the old Dean Martin show when he used to sit there and do those little parodies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, get the hell out of my car. Yeah.
That's perfect. It's perfect. All right, so what do you have for us?
Well, I'm doing a cover of the work done by John Davenport and Eddie Cooley. And the title is You Gave Me Fever. Never thought I could feel so bad. Never thought you would be why. After one night spent with you, feeling like I could die, you gave me fever. When you kissed me, chills run through me day and night. Fever, with no warning, now none of my insides feel right. Sun too bright for my eyes, drenched with sweat through the night. What the hell did you pass on? Didn't know I was dating a blight. You gave me fever. When you kissed me, chills run through me day and night. Fever, without warning, now none of my insides feel right. Yeah. Can't stop mouth and nose from flowing. No control over my back end. Believe I've got an addiction to my bathroom's porcelain. You gave me fever. When you kissed me, chills run through me day and night. Fever, with no warning, now my insides don't feel right. Why'd you do this to me, baby? Then just split the scene. left me alone, all on my own. The CDC has me quarantined. You gave me fever. When you kissed me, chills went through me day and night. Fever with no warning. Now none of my insides feel right. In peace.
Very, very, very nice, my friend. and nailing the tune also.
This is to the haiku master. What can we say?
Yeah, what can we say? It's magic. That's why he only does haiku, because no one can take that magic in larger doses. All right.
And what can I say, bud? Dilly dilly and on to the next.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week, Stan.
We'll talk to you then. Thank you, Stan. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Man, it's been a crazy night.
I am having a blast.
Yeah, but it's a really good one. Let's go now to Emily in North Dakota. Hello, Emily. Welcome back.
Hi there.
How is North Dakota?
I'm so glad to be here. It's not too bad. I mean, we've had some weird thunderstorms the last couple of days, but kindergarten started yesterday for my daughter, I lived through it. So
good.
Here we go.
Was it a hard day?
It was. It could have been, but
sure.
It went smoothly. I mean, you know, it's hard enough going to a new school, but when you have autism too, it just adds on to it. So, but she did great yesterday and
wonderful
today, and hopefully we'll make it through the weekend and have a good Monday. So,
all right.
But yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. My classes start on Monday, so I'm going to be seeing kindergartens and preschools and all that starting Monday myself here. Teaching, not being in kindergarten.
fun.
It'll be good. I teach them all the way up to eighth grade. I teach music and drama.
That's amazing.
It's a good time.
That's so awesome.
It's a good time. It really is. But let's do this. I'm going to be quiet, let you read, and then we'll talk after.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right, this piece is rather new, and it's not a parody like I've been listening to the last few poems. So here we go. Woodside. When my father dies, I will crumble like pie crust, my insides oozing out. My grandfather's handkerchief is tied in my hand as the podium holds my weight. I am the oldest. I am honored to speak of my father's gentle kindness and overwhelming optimism, almost naivete, forever expecting the best of everyone. I speak of him in the present tense because, unlike my grandfathers, grandmother, aunts, and uncles, this day is like the mornings we heard of my cousins, each at age 19. This day is not real. Because this morning my daughter sang along to Grisabella's song from the musical Cats, my son is about to shave with a bladed razor and the clouds look like cauliflower and broccoli. My eyes are welling with months to come, unheard voicemails and unwritten birthday cards and home runs not cheered about and dance recitals not applauded to and Thanksgivings and Christmases and New Year's and birthdays, all minus one. As my mother cradles the urn to his final resting place, to the family plot in Massachusetts, to his father, his mother, brothers-in-law, to his sister and nephew, I will see the plot reserved for me. Clutching Grandpa's hanky in one hand, the sweaty palm of my daughter in the other, I catch a glimpse of my firstborn as he steadies my mother, keeping her upright through Woodside Cemetery, and I wonder, what will he say? End poem.
That was a really solid piece, Emily.
Thank you.
Yeah. An enjoyable piece, and there was a lot of cool little imagery in that.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm starting to think about what'll happen when my parents die, because I'm 42 and they're 72 and 71, so it'll happen within the next 30 years.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been thinking about it too. Yeah, with myself.
It's just starting to kind of hit me, so I came up with this piece, and it's just, I really like it. And it's, while it's sad at the same time, it's memories, and it's not like, woe is me. It's just, oh, shit, this is happening.
Yeah.
Well, and I think something that really can come from that, too, is that realization when they're still with you is that you can make the conscious choice to let them know how much they matter to you and just have good experiences with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm sorry to be the downer of the evening.
Not at all.
Everybody had all these funny pieces, but I was like, I have to read this one.
No, that's exactly what this is for. And this has been a really weird return engagement. It's perfect. I think JT was playing a lot of Weird Al.
Yeah.
Over the last month or so. Uh-huh. And I think it's caught up with all the other poets.
I mean,
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But Emily, thank you so much for your work. That really, really was a wonderful piece.
Thank you very much. I'm pretty proud of it.
You should be. All right. We'll talk to you next time. Okay. And good luck this next week with your daughter and with school.
Thank you so much. I will try.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye. And that was Emily Collin from North Dakota sharing I just think it was a really solid piece.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Is he in there? He is. Okay.
All right.
I just wanted to make sure. Certain calls have dropped off, so we'll be asking for them to call in.
Absolutely. So now we're going to go to the Franz. Who needs to call us back? Eric, we're having an issue with Skype. Can you just call us right back? We'll answer live. Anybody else still on hold?
Nope.
JT? Okay,
nope.
So just
the
him.
Last one. Yep.
Okay, so we'll have him, and then the next people will call in. So Eric, just give us a call, and we will take you live. Is that
nope.
him? No, nope, that's not him. Okay.
Nope. We need Eric.
We need to answer Eric, not other people.
Okay. There's Eric.
Okay, here he is.
Okay.
Hello, Eric. How's it going?
It's going good.
All right, man. Doing real well. Thanks for calling back. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
All right. Well, I'm just going to give you the stage and let you read, man.
All right. Hang on a second. My note just messed up.
Fair enough.
Hang on. Give me... Let me pull it back up. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay.
I got Notepad, which is where I write most of my poems right now.
Okay.
But anyways, here we go.
All right, whenever you're ready.
I got it. Sorry. All right. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, every second, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, unconsciously craving for it, involuntarily fiending for it, continuously enduring it, seizingly partaking it, forever needing, wanting, and desiring, or whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, relentlessly thinking that you can't physically function without having whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, seizingly thinking of only withdrawals while not partaking in whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always steals all of your time. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always occupies all of your time. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always loses all of your time. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always consumes all of your time. whatever it may be that you must absolutely have, never gives any of all your lost times, stolen times, taken times, occupied times, and consumed times back to you. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, builds your love and your relationships with everyone that you interact with. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, separates you always from everyone and everything around you. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, is not just psychological but physiological as well. Whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, may be cured with mind over matter, but withdrawals definitely occur no matter whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always. Overcome whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always, if you realize it to be more of a painful pleasure than its original pleasurable adrenaline high that you first received from whatever it may be that you must absolutely have always. I say in peace.
That was a cool piece, Eric. Really liked it.
Well, thank you so much. The reason I came up with that, and it's actually surprising, but I wrote a poem for somebody. She's one of my friends in England, actually. And she's about to have surgery, and I think they're taking her pancreas or gallbladder out, and her chance of living is very slim. Mm. And she wanted me to write a poem on addiction, and she said that I know that you can do, you know, the world justice, and you'll get it around the world. And I have not to be egotistical, but I have friends and fans from all over the world.
Sure.
So I wrote that, and she absolutely loved it. And I read it on your show tonight, and I read it on Speakeasy Cafe last night, and I shared it on my Facebook, and I had 9 people like that so far. And so I'll be writing my next poem, will be on mental health. And I was actually an addict at one time, and I have mental health issues too. So that kind of helps whenever I write things that I actually know and that I've been, you know, been a part of. So,
right. Yeah.
I'm going to add that, and I'm going to make it to where mental illness isn't, something to be saddened about, or like, you know, mental illness is a stupidity, or like you're bad because you're insane or something, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. But not. Yeah. Totally.
Gonna make it, you know, more truthful, and I don't know. I'm just gonna play with it. I'll read it on your next show.
Okay.
So I gotta write it first. Well, thanks so much for having me. Thanks for everything you guys do.
You got it, man. We're happy to.
All right. Hey, I did have a question, but I think I just forgot it. So I'll have to ask it later.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I just remembered. Sorry. So how do I submit to you got your anthology now?
Just go to World
Poetry. You guys have an anthology, right?
Right. We're it's going to be coming out right before Christmas. We're accepting submissions through the end of October till Halloween.
Okay.
And you can just do it by go to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, send it to us, and just denote in the subject line, you know, submission for anthology or anthology submission, something like that. And you can send as many poems as you want.
All right. And are you guys themed or?
Nope. No theme.
No theme, just whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, do whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Eric. Appreciate you, man.
You're welcome, and thanks so much, guys, and I'll see you next time.
Okay, we'll see you then. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Eric calling from Texas. A solid piece. He's it's cool to see, you know, he's a strong writer, but he's growing as a writer also. And I'm noticing that from week to week. And I think that was a pretty important piece for him also. All right. So now, Don, give us a call. It's kind of cool. We have Don calling, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, you know, and we mentioned him last week, and then Barbara actually tracked him down to make sure he was okay.
Good.
Let's see if let's give him a few minutes to call. Yeah. Let's see if he does, and then if he doesn't, then we'll move on to the next. To be fair enough. Now, JT, do you have anything big planned this week?
No, just more school.
Just
more school.
All right. What is just more? Okay, let's just answer the
just
phone.
Take Don.
Hello, welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Is this Don?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Don. We've missed you. How are you, sir?
At the moment, I'm getting over pneumonia.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So my poetry, like my hair, is short.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
And a little unkempt too.
My hair is very unkempt itself, so I can understand. Okay, so Don, I'm going to give you the stage. I'm going to step back, and then we'll talk after. Okay.
Okie doke. This poem, "The Eve of Beautiful Fruit," begins. A red covered book, paged in bad order, attracts seeing senses. My teeth touch the apple skin. Worms have eaten out meaning. End poem.
Wow. Really solid as always, Don. We've missed your work, and we're happy that you were able to call, and we hope your recovery is very speedy.
I'm running to catch up with it. My recovery is ahead of me.
It is, but I hope you do catch it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good night and good wishes to everybody.
Good night,
Don. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was the Don Hagelberg, calling us from California. It's been such a long time since we heard his voice. Barbara, thank you for tracking him down and asking him how he was and kind of reminding him about our little show here on Fridays. You know what? I understand. People call for a long time, and then they get busy.
Yeah.
We understand.
Life happens.
And then eventually one day they're sitting there on a Friday night going, you know what? You know, I'm going to call the – yeah, and that's what happened. Okay, so there's this person who the next caller is someone we haven't heard from in a long time. It's someone who, you know, she comes in and out. Sometimes she's on the show. Sometimes she's not.
Sometimes she just needs to call.
Sometimes Cynthia just needs to call us, you know. But, no, really, Cynthia did a great job on the panel earlier with Charles Clifford Brooks as well. And
apparently I just missed the call, so she can try again.
Okay, Cynthia, can you try one more time?
JT's having issues. There
JT,
it is.
You know. All right, here we go. Whoa, there it is. Even with a drum beat behind it. That was great. Hey, Cynthia, how's it going?
Hi, I'm so gullible. I'm like, oh, I wonder who's next. I thought it was me.
Well, that was the reason why I was like, I better say the name. I would have forgotten myself, actually. So, by the way, thanks again so much for all of your insight on the panel and everything. I think it was really valuable.
Thank you so much for having me on it. I finally came up with my answer. It took me about an hour, but I finally came up with my sentence.
Yeah, do you want to say it now?
Which is remember to reciprocate.
Yes, 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 yes. That's a beautiful one. I think that was a big takeaway that I took from what you were saying as well. So it's very fitting.
So I'm going to move into my poem,
sure,
which is called Touching Eternity. A freely chosen adult life, the moon in an artist's palette, hands dipping in water, a rhapsody of flute notes. Go deeply to that place beyond self. beyond earthwalks and time, where all color resides. Take a moment to breathe and be one with the spectacular events of nature. You are part of the story. End poem.
It's a beautiful piece and a really nice read.
Thank you.
Of course.
So thanks so much for having me on and for the interview and everything.
Oh, obviously. I mean, it's just something that I think is great about this community is how we all grow and we learn things and we come back and share them with each other. And thanks for being generous with that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to post a little bit on the on your website, a few more things that have helped me with Amazon.
But that would be great. And just so everyone else knows, I don't know how many people follow, they might not, the Michael Amade Show, which is my daily show. Once we have a cut of that interview, I'm actually going to post that up as an episode. And so it'll help draw people back to the show and to you and Clifford Brooks and everything. But also, I think that'll be valuable for a lot of people.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's done a few things on the show tonight. You know?
Just a few.
Just a few.
Just a few.
Hey, Mary, give us a call. You know, I think there's, by the way, I wanted to recommend a book since we were talking about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book by a guy named Ryan Holiday who knows what he's talking about in book marketing. He wrote a book called Perennial Seller, or How to Craft a Perennial Seller. And it is a book that's talking about how to make something that is going to be relevant for a long period of time. But then it also goes into the second half of the book, which is about how to build a career marketing things that will last for a long time. And there's a lot of deep, deep marketing work there. And the reason he knows is he was actually brought up under some huge authors, best-selling authors. Robert Greene wrote The 48 Laws of Power and all of that. Transitioned that into working with a lot of other people. Then became the director of marketing for American Apparel at 24 years old. The guy's a beast. He knows what he's talking about. Perennial Seller, check it out. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, boy?
We're doing well. JT is finally enjoying. Oh no!
It just dropped.
Are you?
I didn't do a thing.
You
I did.
I saw. Okay. I saw a look. Right. Not to Mary. I just saw a look at the computer. Like okay. The computer would have had a problem.
Okay. She's back on now.
Okay.
No,
sorry about
not
that, Mary.
Happening. This isn't happening.
It's not happening.
Not really happening.
Before anything else doesn't happen, I'm gonna shut up and let you let you do your thing. Okay.
Okay. All right, a teeny tiny one here in this late evening. I wish I could make loves.
Oh my goodness, I think we lost Mary again.
That connection is there.
Connection's there. I wonder if she's having a cell issue.
Hello, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're there. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Here, but my phone is only kind of here, so we're going to try.
Okay.
You can hear me?
We can hear you.
Go.
All right, really quick. Yes, here we go. If it doesn't, then that's it. But I wish I could make. I wish I could make love's surface from dust. I'd clear all the clutter, I'd sand off the rust. I'd clear all my spaces and erase many faces. And I'd bake a whole feast and prepare a few traces. I'd get out my witty, a little divine. I'd get trumpets and trombones and maybe some wine. I'd be so excited preparing for you, I'd spill over a candle or trip on my shoe. I'd take a big breath and fling open the door and squeeze you to pieces, you'd fall to the floor. In reality, connections are the best thing I got. I sit by myself and get in a rut. I'd love to have love in my life till the end. Good friends are a thing. If you have them, you win. I know that ourselves are all that we're rearing, and we have to make do with the one in the mirroring. But others that see us and love us are healing. When I spend time with them, I see myself revealing with steel blue steering wheels, steering and squealing. Better. End poem.
I really enjoyed that piece. I thought it was worth the technical difficulties, Mary.
Yeah, all those technicals. All right, nighty night, and I love you guys. And next time, I'll listen to the end.
We love you too, Mary. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona on a late Friday night. Now you think for the people, JT, for the people on the East Coast, it's nearly 1 a.m.
I know.
So now we're going to go to, or we're going to have Tamara give us a call as our last caller for the return engagement.
Yes.
All right. Let's see how she does. She still, I saw this poem she posted in the chat room.
That was,
that was great.
Yeah.
All right. So you copied and saved that, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got an image of it.
All right. You got an image of it?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's important.
There we go.
All right, here she is. Hello, Tamara.
Hello. Is this JT or Michael?
This is Michael, but JT's sitting right here next to me. So it might as well, you could address it to either one of us.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out the difference between your voices yet.
Well,
so,
this is JT.
Hello, Tamara. This is JT.
And this is Michael.
Hello, Tamara.
All right. Thank you.
That's my real voice, by the way. That's my real accent.
You just fake it for us for the evening?
Yes. I fake it to try to make it somewhat tolerable because people have told me that
no one wants to hear me speak this way.
That's not true. I'm sure a Disney exec would hire you to play the witch in one of those animated films.
You know, I tried, but Michael Eisner doesn't have the vision.
That's too bad because, you know, you have talent.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You should see what I can do with my toes. Anyway, Tamara, I'm going to let you read and we'll talk after.
Or not. Okay, so my poem is titled Up Late. Late night lover or unfinished chore? What keeps you up when it's time to snore? Stormy weather or stormy thoughts? Batten down the hatches or connect the dots? Flashes above and rumbles deep, an unexpected front when you're trying to sleep? Hurricane watch or a long-winded whore? What keeps you up when it's time to snore? And boom.
I like that. That was a good piece.
You know, I didn't know for years that people were enduring me snoring when I was sleeping. And then I finally heard a recording. What in the world is that? Yeah. It's like the secret life that you didn't even know you had where you moonlight as a bear.
Well, it couldn't have been that bad because if it's really bad, you'll wake yourself up.
It's true. Well, but then again, I don't know, Tamara. I think one day what I might do in the interest of transparency is just start putting up recordings of me snoring. Episode 300 of the Michael Amadeus Show, I snore for 8 hours. No.
You put it on YouTube, somebody will watch it. They just will.
You know, I've tried that theory, and it's totally accurate.
I have teenagers. And they watch all sorts of stuff, and it numbs my mind. How do you spend your time watching that?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It's the truth. Yeah. It's amazing. But Tamara, your poem though we can all agree I think was really really solid and really enjoyable. And thanks for sharing it with us.
I just want a little gold star because I didn't hang up on you this time. That's just all.
That is a big one.
Okay, thanks. Progress. All right. Hey, I just bought the book you said, the Perennial
Seller. Yeah, trust me. That's
a great
book. And that was a really good choice. It's one of the ones that I think is, I think it's really, really essential for someone who is wanting to do what we do.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Hope you enjoy
it. I appreciate you both, everything you do. All right. Night.
Thank you. Good night. And that was Tamara calling from, is it Indiana?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, I'm just getting tired and getting loopy here. All right. So, everybody, that was the last caller for the return engagement. We had Michelle lined up, but she had to turn in. We understand. So, I just want to say from all of us here, we really appreciate you. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your commitment and spending your Friday nights with us. We enjoy doing it with you. as well. We hope you found use in that the panel there. We hope it's something you can take and kind of use in your own careers as a poet. If you like it, let us know. Send us a message, and we'll start coming up with more and more things like that that we can do for you. All right, so from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT and from myself, have a great, great week. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time, and until then, keep writing.